Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to the Eric Francis Show. I'm Eric Francis. Congratulations. You got through Stampede. You got through the hot weather. And if you went down to the grounds like I was all weekend long at the rodeo and such, or just waiting endlessly in lines for your kids, stuffing yourself with elephant ears and so many other horrible, horrible things that I just loved, good on you. You went and you supported the local economy. You got back into the community spirit, and you probably got quite a sunburn as well, like I did. What an incredible stampede for this city. And the number one topic of conversation, no matter where you went, I don't care what tent you were in, what ride you were waiting for, what beer line you were waiting for in, Johnny Gaudreau was still the topic of conversation. And it's kind of shifting now, too. People are kind of getting over that. Everybody, of course, wants to know what really happened or how this could possibly happen. And now the question is, can this happen again with Matthew Tkachuk? Can this happen again with Andrew Mangiapane? Well, our first guest today will join us in a couple of minutes, and he'll shed some light on the second half of that. Andrew Mangiapane. I just tweeted earlier this morning that Andrew Mangiapane is open to a multi-year extension, which doesn't mean anything. Doesn't mean anything's going to get signed. Doesn't mean that's going to happen. But the desire for a guy to be here past 1 year and then just walk into free agency, like I think everyone's scared Matthew Tkachuk will do, it's good news. It's good news when a guy, you know, I think I'll let Rich Winters speak, you know, a little bit more about it than I will. But, you know, I think Andrew Mangiapane's happy here. I could see him signing here for a 2 or 3 year contract extension. Who knows? Maybe they could sign him long term. It's going to be expensive, though. The numbers he put up, given how few minutes he played and the role he played, the limited role, it's going to be a pricey long term extension if they're going to be able to come to terms on that. But anyway, we'll get into Andrew Mangiapane in a second. The news yesterday from the NHL, it's not big news, but 24 players filed for arbitration. And in that list, there are three Calgary Flames. No surprises. Mangiapane, Oliver Shillington, and Matthew Phillips. Noticeably absent from that list is Matthew Tkachuk. Now, what does that mean? It means that he can just sign his qualifying offer of $9 million and then walk into free agency. That's the fear that everybody has in this city. I think it's a very real fear, especially given what we just went through with Johnny Gaudreau. To set the stage for that, he has until 3 o'clock on Friday to sign that qualifying offer. Otherwise, he's free, of course, during this week or beyond that to sign any sort of extension that he might be able to come up with the Flames. But crunch time is right now for the organization to try and get him to sign a multi-year extension before he signs that one-year QO and plays his way out of Calgary. And what does that mean? Does that mean they trade him right away? Does that mean they trade him at the trade deadline? I don't know when they would consider trading him, but they would have to consider trading him because this organization cannot continue to let its top assets walk for nothing. It's got to end here with this player if that's the case. Arbitration hearings go from July 27th to August 11th. So again, things start to move quite rapidly on some of these contract deals, whether it's Mangiapane, whether it's Shillington, whether it's Matthew Tkachuk, and that will put people at ease one way or the other. Maybe not. Maybe it'll cause another furor, especially if Tkachuk signs his qualifying offer, like most people think he will. But we'll get into a lot of that stuff with Rich Winter, because he's a very outspoken agent. Last time he came on the show, he made it very clear that he was interested in signing. You know, his instructions were going to be to Andrew Mangiapane, I advise my client not to sign a long-term deal with the Calgary Flames. Just, you know, test the waters, get to free agency and see what your options are then. You can still sign with the Flames then, but at this point in time, I do believe Mangiapane doesn't feel that way. I think he wants to reach out and see if there's a deal to be made. And that's what we're going to get Rich Winter to talk about here. We are efforting to call Rich Winter right now. He just texted me, said he's available to get on the phone. He was talking to a general manager literally when we started this conversation. So we have him on the line. Rich, thanks so much for joining us.
Hey, Eric, how are you doing?
I'm excellent. Okay, I'll get right into it with Andrew Mangiapane. The last time you were on the show, you said you thought it was prudent, and I don't disagree with you, for an agent in your position to advise a guy like Mangiapane to not sign anything longer than a one-year deal, to walk into free agency, and then just test the waters. You could still sign with the Flames at that point. Has your tune changed, and is Andrew Mangiapane's reaction to your advice changed over the last little while?
Well, I think it's an interesting time with the flat cap. So I think I personally am a risk taker. So I always like the idea of betting on myself and then taking the spoils that will come from that. But that advice comes with some risk. The risk is really twofold. A player in Andrew's situation decides on a one-year deal. There's two risks. He gets injured and isn't able to generate the long-term deal that may have been on the table prior to that. So that's a risk that you have to evaluate as a player. The other risk in this marketplace is what I would call the Johnny Gaudreau or Nazem Kadri risk. You may be worth a particular amount of money, but there may be no one able to pay you. So I think my recommendation would come with those caveats because you have to be careful. Now, that's the downside. On the upside, if you sign a one-year deal in a scenario like this, and you go out, Andrew, by way of example, with 35 goals last year, if he went into free agency with another 35 goals, and when you talk to Andrew, he's very excited about next year because he believes he'll get more opportunity. And if he gets a little more opportunity on that first power play unit, he'd like to think he'd be more productive. But let's say he's just equally productive, that he comes back with another 35 goals. He would be the only player to go into the salary in the salary cap era to walk into free agency with back-to-back 35 goal series, seasons. Now you say to yourself, as you're talking through this with your client, you would say, well, what would that look like next year? You know, Pacioretty leaves and retires off of Aho's left side. Maybe the Toronto Maple Leafs decide to make a move on a player like William Nylander and open up a spot for a back-to-back 35 goal scorer. Maybe there's another, you know, one of the centermen in Seattle pan out to be a young superstar, and that looks like, who knows? So there's upside and there's downside. So as much as I generally recommend a player take the opportunity to look at the landscape, that doesn't come without risk. And all the other issues they've got to consider is, who am I playing with? What's happening in Calgary? Does Matthew stay? Does Matthew go? 2 years from now, does Lindholm stay or does Lindholm go? So you have all those kinds of conversations as to what's happening around the team that you're with. You have a lot of conversation around a half a dozen, maybe a dozen teams that might be a destination, as best as we can determine that today, because if you had 10 destinations today, there might be four this time next year, as Johnny's found out, right?
Yeah.
So there's just a lot of variables that come into play here. And there's really three things in these deals, and I don't think fans completely understand what goes through a player's mind. He's looking at, first, opportunity. Who am I playing with? Because players want to be the best they can be. And that means playing in a situation with the best players at the level they've proven they can play. So if you're a fourth-line winger, you don't want to be in the minors. If you're a third-line winger, you don't want to play on the fourth line. If you think you're a 40-goal scorer, you'd like the opportunity to play with the elite players on your team. That's so you look at the opportunity. And second, you look at lifestyle, which is obviously something that was being very important to the Gaudreau family. And then you look at finances and all those things combined. I know fans tend to think, if he gets seven, he's taking it. What we're seeing in this marketplace, that they're not asking for the moon in Tampa and other places because there's lifestyle advantages. No state tax. You get beautiful home on the waterfront. Your life, you go to practice in flip-flops. When you go on the road to Northern the United States or Canada, your wife's home with the baby, walking her along the beach. Like, so those three things wrap up into sometimes a very difficult decision for players who have historically had no choices. You know, they were drafted in the OHL. They were drafted in the NHL. They were, you know, they've never, they were traded somewhere. they've never had the opportunity, and quite often it's a lot for them to process. So it's difficult to get through these things because there's a lot of variables. I look at Calgary right now, it's a great spot for Andrew, you know, because he's going to be playing likely a little bit with Lindholm. Very good defense, good goaltending. This is going to be a good team with a good coach. And is Chucky staying? Well, if he stays, he's playing with a guy that historically is a much better passer than people realize. Andrew has a way of finding the seams. Him and Lindholm out with Manji on the power play. It's a very good situation for him. So it's not like, but what is the situation for Andrew in Calgary 3 years from now? We don't know. Quite frankly, probably Brad doesn't completely know at this stage. So those things you have to, and if you're signing for 3 or 4 or 5 or 7, you have to, you know, work through those things and project as best you can. But this isn't an easy process. And if the guy, the second leading scorer in the National Hockey League, ends up in a less desirable situation than he would have expected, which appears to be the case, it's not like there's no risk. So that's the team's advantage as we work through this. Here, we're going to give you 5 years at X or 3 years at X. And, you started thinking, well, that, you know, I think that money is going to be easily available. But based on recent experience for the last player that left Calgary, maybe it's not. And so that dynamic plays out. And it's just not easy.
Yeah, no, I don't think there's any question that it's a very complex situation. And Johnny Gaudreau struggled with the decision right till the very end. So many questions I have for you based on what you just said. But do you spend a long time explaining all of these things with the players? Like, have you already sat down with Andrew and talked about these sort of things? Like, hey, Andrew, in 2 years, maybe the Leafs would have an opening here. And, you know, some of the scenarios you just painted. Or do you do that when it comes down to crunch time and you're really starting to look at some concrete offers?
No, you do that in advance. It depends on where the player is. You know, obviously Andrew's in the playoffs and focused at that time. So we didn't talk much before that. But since the season's over, you talk about things because, you know, I identify for the players, opportunity, lifestyle, and money. You start asking the questions, what's most important to you? With some players, it's simply the money. Other players are more focused on lifestyle. Money's important because it's not irrelevant. And who I play with. I love playing with Michael Backlund, let's say. And Andrew does like playing with Matt. Actually, Andrew doesn't mind playing with anybody. He just likes to play with the same people consistently. But ultimately, you know, those, you work through those things and you don't come up with an ultimate answer because you're playing, it's kind of like playing Monopoly. It's not for real at this point in time. Well, if I had Park Place and Boardwalk, then wouldn't you want to buy the other three on that street? Yeah, I think I would because I could probably kill you by the next round. But trying to find a level. And then, you know, there's so many other factors. You've got young players who's, Andrew's sister's gone off to university. His parents are in Toronto. She's in a different location. He's in Calgary. You don't know really until you go through it and get down to a situation. I remember with Marian Hossa, we had been given the permission to talk to any team we wanted by signing that 1 year deal in Chicago, in Detroit. He wanted to play in Detroit. He wanted to play with Lidstrom and Chelios and all of these great players and see how they prepared because he'd never been on an elite team. He played in Atlanta and in Ottawa. So we had permission from Ken Holland. If we sign a 1 year deal, he can talk to anybody in the league the minute the season's over. So we had about 2 weeks. We had basically a deal worked out with Chicago. And despite having talked about it for, you know, probably 6 months, focused on Chicago for at least that amount of time, you know, a day before unrestricted free agency, Marian is thinking, you know, you said Tampa was in, like, what, can I talk to them? And of course, by that time, Chicago had traded Havlat with the expectation that they had a handshake with us. And of course, when I called Dale Talon back and say, Dale, do you mind if he just takes a look? Of course, Dale, in addition to, you know, falling on the floor and trying to pick himself up, says, no. But, you know, it's not an easy decision. And Marian had really focused on that decision for a long time. He's a very experienced, older player, been around the league, played with Pittsburgh, played in Detroit. A lot of thought to what he wanted to do with his family. But even in Marion's case, it sounds strange, but he was yet to get married when he moved into Chicago. But one of the issues that we talked a lot about was where was his kids go to school? Because he's signing a 12-year deal. It seems like something you wouldn't talk about. But he liked the idea of, you know, living downtown Chicago. There's a number of, you know, nursery schools and kindergartens in the area. So he could see out, you know, he hadn't had children yet. So he could see out probably in that context, 6, 7, 8 years. Okay, those things are just important. You know, they're important to discuss. Some of them won't play key roles in the final decision because it's really going to be more life. But that's part of lifestyle. And what does your wife think? You know, oh, my wife has a lot of good friends on that team, and she really likes Chicago, or she really likes, you know, golfing, and Carolina looks terrific in that regard. And I heard the owner there owns Topgolf or something, you know. And all of those things get discussed, and sometimes as you take a player through the question and answers that you're looking for, different things come up. Yeah, I'd really like to be... one player told me once when we were talking about L.A. and Tampa, I don't really like warm weather that much. I'm not a water guy. Well, okay, I am, but I guess
that's
not.
That's a new one.
There was one particular instance. Ilya Brezgalov didn't care. He was all about the money. He said, look, I would prefer, you know, I haven't made a crazy amount of money yet. This is my chance. And, of course, he did very well financially. It wasn't, in my mind, the best opportunity, and it turned out not to be. But he got $40 million over 2 years he spent in Philly. So from a financial perspective, which was his focus, I think he would consider that certainly a ground rule double.
Yeah, yeah. So when it comes to Mangiapane, it's my understanding he likes it here. And I tweeted this morning that he's open to a multi-year extension, which is doesn't mean anything in the grand scheme of things. But if that is in fact true, and I want to ask you if that's true, then, you know, that's great news for Flames fans because everyone's so scared they're going to lose Tkachuk as well and potentially Mangiapane. Is that accurate that he's open to a multi-year extension with the Flames?
Yeah, well, I don't want to get into the negotiations. I share Brad's view on that. It's never really healthy for the process. But I think ultimately, you know, to admit that Andrew has submitted a proposal to them on a multi-year deal tells you that he's quite interested in staying here, despite the uncertainty that it surrounds Matthew Tkachuk. This is, regardless of what happens, Matthew Tkachuk will be replaced by someone in a trade. You may not get a Matthew Tkachuk type, but you might get an Alex DeBrincat type. You know, I don't think they go from, if Tkachuk is moved, they go from Tkachuk to nobody. Maybe they go to an elite young defenseman that moves the puck very well, which is also an advantage to the Lindholms and the Mangiapanes. Maybe they get a different player, not quite as physical, but very skilled and moves the puck very well. You know, it's hard to say, but I would think you can, certainly Andrew feels very comfortable with the coaching staff. You know, he likes the management team here. He likes the city. He's had a good experience. And, you know, he said to them, he's quite willing to stay on a longer term deal. Obviously the dynamics of that have to be worked out, you know, in terms of finances and things, but, you know, he certainly accepted and proposed that he stay here longer term.
Okay. That's good news. Now, you also alluded to the fact that, you know, I think the door, by the way, we're talking to Rich Winter. He's the agent for Andrew Mangiapane, agent for Mark Giordano. I want to ask you about that at the end here, but you know, you mentioned Andrew Mangiapane is going to be in a prime position this year to get more ice time, better opportunities. I think most people are kind of expecting at the very least he'd have another 35-goal season. What is that worth to go onto the market? You said no player in the cap era has ever gone into UFA status with back-to-back 35-goal seasons. Can you project right now what that's worth? I know that's a bit crystal ball-y, but give me a ballpark on what that's worth.
Well, I don't think you really know because ultimately the market value for Johnny Gaudreau was 10.5, right? That was the market value. That's what a team was willing to pay. And you only need one team to be willing to pay that. So, you know, it's probably, you know, it's at least in the 7 range. Could it be in the 8 range? Potentially. I mean, if he gets 40 or 45, it could climb who knows where, but that might be the value that teams would place on him, but who has the cap room? So you have to, and who has the cap room and the right complement or the most attractive complement of players to play with, and which team is in the city that brings a lifestyle that everybody involved with the player in and around his family finds appealing. So, yeah, I mean, it's probably in the neighborhood of 7 to 8. Maybe, you know, if he hits 40, like Andrew, I can tell you, his objective is to score 40, 45 goals this year. He believes that that's something should be expected of him with more opportunity. So yeah, if he's right. Now, the other thing that comes into play there is injury, right? Well, short-term injury, not too big a deal if he's on pace to get 40 and he only scored 32 in 60 games. But, I mean, you always have to face the risk of that career-ending injury. You know, smaller player, plays a pretty aggressive game for a guy his size. What are the risks there? You know, so, but to answer your question, it's, I don't know, it's a lot of money, and it's, in the end, it probably won't end up being the primary driver because there will be two spots when one of them might be Calgary. Like, Andrew has never said a negative thing about Calgary. He would hope that the moves that the management team makes in the next month or two or three are exactly the kind of moves that encourages him to sign for longer. So he has not shut the door on that. That discussion will continue.
Okay. Was he not frustrated by, you know, this is a guy who scored 35 goals, didn't play a single minute on the top power play, didn't play a single minute on the top line. I've got to believe that there were times when he was frustrated by that. Is that not fair? I mean, or does he like this coach? Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, I think he, you know, there's very few players that call and ask for less ice time. So I haven't had any challenges in that regard. So at the end of the day, yes. Would he have liked to play in those situations? Yes, of course you would, because you'd like to see what the production could have been, not just for him, but for others. I also have a suspicion that part of, you know, there is a risk that Andrew will play on the second line again, because if you look at the analytics, generally players that play with him versus players that play without him generate more production per minute they play with him than they do without. So there's, you know, we've talked about it during the course of the season. Yes, it's disappointing sometimes that you don't get that first power play unit, but to a degree, it's a compliment to be put in a situation where the expectation from the coaching staff is you'll help to get the guys you're playing with going. So to a degree, as frustrating as it is at times, it's a bit of a backhanded compliment because Andrew does make players around him a little bit better than they would be without him.
Yeah, I don't think there's any question about that. His analytics are fantastic, just given the limited opportunities he's had and the most he's made for that. I guess the big question is this, Rich. You know, we're talking to Rich Winter, player agent to the Stars, to Andrew Mangiapane, Mark Giordano, and so many others over the years. But here's the big question that everybody's kind of asking when they look at all this, with Gaudreau leaving and the potential for Tkachuk potentially wanting to get back to the States as well. The challenge for Canadian teams to get or keep guys here is undeniable. That there is definitely, it's definitely not something in their favor. How do you overcome that? How do the Calgary Flames overcome that? Or can they? Is it impossible? Because I look up the street and I see players signing for less money than market value to go play in Edmonton where they've got a brand new building and two of the biggest stars in the league. Is that what it takes? What does
it take?
Well, I mean,
having a brand new building. Well, yeah. So one easy answer is get a brand new building, which you can't do anything about in the short term, and get the two best players at the forward position in the game, two league MVPs. Yeah, that's one way of doing it. Not so easy. You now have to arrange for your draft position to fall into line, but that's, yeah, you've got to look at things. I always remember Sven Mader was a centerman that played for the UCLA Bruins and then went on to have a long NBA career. He came from Holland. He'd never played basketball before, but when his 6'10" body walked down the halls of the Santa Monica College, they invited him to trial for the basketball team. Very raw, but after a year at Santa Monica, he was invited by Coach Wooden to come to UCLA. But Coach Wooden said to him that you're never going to play a meaningful minute of the game. You're never going to start. But I believe the way we practice and the people you'll practice with, you'll be become such a great player that I bet you'll be, if I'm betting my reputation on you becoming a first round pick. As it turned out, Stan was the only first-round pick in the history of the NBA who was in college to never start a college game. And he went on to have a long career. But it's looking at what can we do? Can we train better? Can we have better facilities of some sort? Do we have such a rabid fan base that we can help the players find revenue opportunities away from the rink that would generate opportunities for them and create ways that they could see a path towards a career after hockey, you know, by things I can do for them. And the good news about those types of things is you attract players with long-term views who tend to be pretty good people, family oriented. You've got to figure out a way. And again, it's not easy because you don't have a waterway to plant a $4 million home on with, you know, averaging 80 degree weather during the winter. You don't have tax-free jurisdiction like they have in Dallas or in Texas and Washington State and in Florida. So what can you do? You have to be creative, and you know it's going to take some thought. I mean, I know Brad and I have talked about these things a little bit, but you can't throw up your hands and give up. You have to be creative. I mean, Calgary has a great ownership group, very capable business leaders. I mean, it's a thing the hockey operations department doesn't really want to talk about, but how do we make this a better business and lifestyle opportunity? I don't know what it is. Maybe one of your owners have developed a small real estate area in a prime location in Calgary that is a place where players can buy homes and that what they have available is unique and different. I don't know what it is, but I think that you have to recognize, and I think everybody with Johnny leading is recognizing, Calgary has a problem, Winnipeg has a problem, Vancouver and Montreal have problems, Toronto and Edmonton don't necessarily have as big of problems, and theirs isn't solved by weather. Theirs is solved by having two of the greatest offensive players in the game. And when Gio went to Toronto, it's like he says, Rich, to a degree, to sit back and watch those guys, you think they're very good when you're defending them. You don't realize how good when you get a chance to sit and watch them as he has. So those things have an impact. So again, it's not easy, but people like Brad, like John Bean, like Gerd Norrie and those around the Flames, it's valuable for them to start thinking about how do we, outside of kidnapping Connor McDavid, how the heck are we going to do it? And they have to give some thought to it, because whether we like it or not, the salary cap is not flat and it's not equal, because when opportunity, so the great teams with the great players have an edge, that's just the fact. So you got to draft well and build well. Mm-hmm. Lifestyle, it's not equal in terms of lifestyle. So, you know, we play a little bit of a second field. Look, I grew up in Calgary and live in Edmonton. I love it here. I have five kids. I don't want to live anywhere else. I like going to Phoenix in the winter. I like going to Hawaii in the winter as well. But I love being around my family. This is a safe place. My partner grew up in Brooklyn, lived most of his adult life in Los Angeles, representing stars at International Creative Management, as well known as Arnold Schwarzenegger, Jodie Foster, Jean-Claude Van Damme, many others. After Brooklyn and L.A., he moved in Edmonton because he found this to be a great place to raise a family. There's a lot here, harder to sell, but you got to figure out how to package it, because if you don't, and then you have to work with the players. You can't just assume, you know what, we don't have to do much. We brought him here. We paid him $5 million. That should be enough. No, it's not enough, because your competitors have advantages that you don't have. And, you know, and one of it is, quite frankly, and Under mentions this all the time, it's a great group of guys they've drafted. Brad's done a good job of bringing in good people. That's a big draw, because these teammates are very close to each other. So that's one big bonus that you could, it's not significant enough maybe to keep a Johnny Gaudreau going closer to home, but you know, it's hard. And then you deal with the vagaries of, I like Johnny. Johnny doesn't like to fly, I understand. Johnny wanted to be closer to a family in New Jersey. His family doesn't travel much. The COVID situation made travel very difficult for his family members to get here. Those things probably had a unique impact. I don't know Johnny well enough to know for sure, but I've listened to enough people and around close to him that, you know, I don't think the Flames should throw up their hands and assume life is over because Johnny went. I think Johnny was leaving Calgary for family reasons, and there's not a thing you could have done about that.
Mm-hmm.
But so it's maybe a smaller situation than you think. But it's time to really give some thought is how do we make sure the players we have want to stay here, and how do we get them to become advocates for what we are giving them and, you know, helping them here. And it's very difficult sometimes for hockey teams because, you know, Brad worked in Phoenix and he's worked in Calgary and he's worked with Brian Burke. So he has a bit of exposure to what's going on around the league. But you don't know what Julian Breezebrough, you know, who's a really bright, general manager in Tampa. You don't know what him and Jeff Vinnick had cooked up for their guys. I know a little bit. So it's part of starting to understand what's out there and make sure you have a better offering. And again, that's up to them. I'm here to help. Obviously, I'll share with, you know, Brad my views on things because I like Calgary. I have one of my daughters lives in Calgary. Her son, my two grandsons are huge Flame fans. The other day when my 7-year-old grandson called and was interrupting a conference call with Andrew Mangiapane, I thought he was going to jump right through the phone and onto the screen. He was so excited to see Andrew. You know, I'd love to see this team well. I'm a long-term fan of the Calgary Flames and the Edmonton Oilers, having grown up in both places. And I recognize, and this is what teams don't recognize, these teams are such important parts of these communities. We all need to figure out how we can help them be successful, because when the team's going well, job satisfaction is high, productivity is high. Generally, the coffee, you know, water cooler conversation is exciting. It's important to these communities. So we got to figure that out. Now, the easiest way, of course, fans would say, well, maybe you could, Rich, advise Andrew to sign for a longer term at way less money. That would really help. Unfortunately, that's not what my job is at this present moment. But I'm certainly willing always, and Brad and I have talked, and I get along quite well with Brad. Both have a lot of daughters, talk a lot about a lot more things than people would realize than just hockey. Brad's a good man, and he's trying to do the right thing, and he's done some very good work as a general manager in bringing in some of the pieces he had. That's why I don't worry about putting a multi-year deal on the table with the Calgary Flames, because even if Matthew Tkachuk leaves, I have a great degree of faith in Brad will make a pretty good trade to supplement what he's lost. So short-term, the Calgary Flames look to be in very good shape, and I don't know if Chucky stays or stays for just the year. You know, I don't know. I mean, Andrew Mangiapane is a different player than Johnny, but they're still going to have 3 35-plus goal scorers on that first line. And they're going to have one of the best goaltenders in the National Hockey League, a pretty solid defense, and a little bit of money to spend to add a player to two. This team isn't dead. It's just going to have to reload. Like Muhammad Ali used to be so fond of saying, you know, the knockout punch comes after quite often after two steps back. And I think, you know, Brad will be looking at all those options. And, you know, I have a lot of faith, and so does Andrew, that certainly in the short term, you know, 3-4 years, this team's going to be a very good team to be a part of. And that's why he's suggested to the Flames that he would certainly sign for a little bit more term than just his 1-year arbitration award.
Well, thank you for the sober second thought right now, because the sky seems to be falling in Calgary right now. Losing a superstar player is obviously going to trigger a very emotional response from the entire city, especially the way it went down. That didn't sit well with a lot of people.
Well, keep in mind, just let me say this, that sometimes, you know, Johnny's a great player, highly skilled player, entertaining to watch. But what have the Calgary Flames won with him in the lineup? So it begs the question whether or not a lot of teams are built with a wider and more diverse complement of players. You may have lost one of the most skilled players in the game, but that money may be able to be spent elsewhere. Now, we can't lose sight of the fact if Andrew stays and Chucky stays, or someone who replaces him as similar or close to the same pedigree stays, they're freeing up $11 million in cap space next year when Monahan and Lucic's contracts expire. This team isn't in that bad a shape, because that $11 million might buy you an awful lot of stuff next year in another summer of flat cap.
Yeah, absolutely. And listen, we got to take a break, but I want to keep you on. Can you Can you come back after the break? Because I still have so many more questions for you. You're always so good at breaking things down. And what you just said, also, you're very good at helping people get through this tough time in Calgary, because there is reason for optimism for sure in Calgary. But anyway, I have more questions about the Johnny situation for you and some other things. Can you stay and come back after the break?
Yeah, sure. No problem.
Awesome. Okay. We're talking to Rich Winter. We're going to take a short break and we're going to come back because I have so many more questions. You're listening to the Eric Francis Show. It's brought to you by Horse Racing Alberta. Live standardbred racing goes every Friday and Saturday at Century Downs. Friday post time is 5:15. Saturday, the GGs go off at 2:15. We're going to take a short break. We'll be right back. You're listening to Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
This is the Eric Francis Show, brought to you by Horse Racing Alberta on Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
All right, thanks for joining us. Happy post-stampede. Maybe you're getting on the wagon now after being on a different type of wagon for a week. Either way, you did it. You got through it. And bravo, Calgary. You supported it brilliantly. I was down there on the weekend and it was fantastic. So proud of my city when I'm down on the grounds, watching the rodeo, watching the chucks. For anybody who's never been to the Stampede, I tell them that's bucket list material, man. And nobody who I've ever talked to who experienced it has ever disagreed with me after the fact, said, you know what, I'm telling all my friends, they've got to get down there. If even it's just the Cowboys tent or Nashville North, it's brilliant, brilliant fun. And bravo, Calgary, makes me proud every time. Okay, we're talking to Rich Winter. We're continuing the conversation because to me, it's just so fascinating. The fan feedback line is enjoying it too, for the most part. If you want to throw a question out there, 960-960. And one of the questions that is, you know, any idea when Johnny's going to quote unquote do something for the Calgary Flames fans? He's kind of promised that on Tim and Friends the other day, saying, you know, he's got something up his sleeve. I don't know if it's a letter, you know, he'll put in the newspaper, or he's going to hand out gift certificates. I have no idea what he plans, but that's something to look forward to. I'll ask you that, Rich. You know, looking at that situation, any doubt in your mind that he could have maybe handled this better PR-wise? I get that a guy's got a right to go wherever he wants, no question, but I don't think the way it unfolded leaves a lot to be desired for fans.
Well, I mean, I think from what you saw and what we saw from afar, this unfolded very quickly and somewhat unexpectedly. So, you know, cut Johnny a bit of slack. And, you know, he's lucky to be in Calgary dealing with someone like Peter Hanlon, you know, the long-term communications guru at the Calgary Flames that you both of us know very well. And
yeah,
Peter
right
would have
that.
Them very prepared. You know, and he went into a different market in Columbus where, you know, they were probably unprepared for a variety of reasons because they didn't see it coming. It gets, you know, it gets put together quickly. They don't know the player. They don't know. They're maybe intimidated a little bit by the player who comes in with 100 plus points and they don't sit down. You know, I think those things just can be chalked up to, yeah, could he have handled it better? Potentially he could have, but I'm not sure your expectations should be that high when something like that happens so quickly.
Okay. Fair enough. What do you say to people who direct their vitriol? Because people are furious at Brad Treliving for letting this happen. They're mad at Johnny, obviously. There are even people who throw stones at the agent and all this. What is your response to people who throw stones at the agents?
Well, our agent or the GM. I think, look, I mean, Brad said it in his own press comments after Johnny announced he was testing free agency. You know, it's always easy to look back in retrospect, but Johnny didn't have a good year the year before last.
No,
he wasn't
right.
As attractive a commodity. And I don't think if I'm in Brad's shoes, I'm offering him $10.5 million at that time. Now, if Brad did offer him $10.5 million, now he's got to go through, well, what if I get hurt? What if I never see this money again? Yeah, probably has a better chance to sign him, but I don't think Johnny had earned 10.5 based on, you know, 2 years ago performance. So this one's a really interesting one to look back at and be an armchair quarterback. But the reality is the dynamics were very unique. Brad did what he was able to do. And, you know, I don't know he picks up much if he trades him at the trade deadline. Maybe he did. It's a very difficult situation. You've got a coach on pace to win the coach of the year. You've got the best line in hockey. You've got good goaltending. You know, you like your matchups in the Pacific. You're feeling pretty good. If I can get out of here, you never know. I don't know if anybody can get mad at Brad, and I don't think anybody should get upset at the agent, because last time I checked, I haven't really, you know, been involved in a situation where the player did exactly what I wanted him to do when he didn't want to. It never happens. It's their decision. This was a family decision, it appears. It may not have been a sensible decision by Calgary Flames fans' perspective, because they're used to going out to the mountains. They love living here. They like the blue sky. They're used to the cold weather. Their family's all within a stone's throw of here. Yeah, it's hard to understand, because everybody just thinks you should love playing the game. Well, I don't think there's any doubt that Johnny loves playing the game, but he's looking like he's loving it, playing closer to a group of family members that can drive, you know, 8 hours and have dinner with him, or take a short flight and spend the weekend with him. That looks to be pretty important. I've got my own grandchildren. Like, you know, my two or three of my grandchildren who live in Calgary are coming up for the week. And I guarantee you, the first question young Max is going to ask me at 7 years old is, what's going on with Andrew? Is he staying? They call me Deado. It's still that for grandpa. Deado, is Andrew staying? Look, I mean, we all want these players to stay. They all want to be a part of it. But we have to understand, just like I love being 3 hours away from my daughter, Alana, and her three children, and my four kids up here, I might say this to my wife all the time. We go on vacation. She says, we should get a place in Phoenix. You know, what about getting a place on the beach here in Malibu? Honey, we did that. We'd be here for 2 weeks, and you'd be telling me you got to go fly back home to support daughter number one, daughter number two, our son, their family.
Yeah.
Family's like really important, and I think it's become even more important post-COVID. You know, I thought I loved my kids more than I could ever have imagined pre-COVID, but to have them around for all the events that we are able to enjoy, the only events we were able to enjoy really through COVID. You know, a family that was very careful but came together for Thanksgiving and Christmas. You know what? Johnny appears to have a family like that. Like, I mean, he's got, what, $50 million in the bank? So I think you guys, to some degree, we should be admiring the decision he made. He threw a lot of money away, and everybody's criticizing athletes for going for the money. He threw money away because of his family. And I'll tell you a quick story. Vinny Prospo played in the league for, like, you know, 20 years as my client. Finally got him his last job in Vancouver following John Tortorella around again, because they played, you know, he played for him in a lot of different scenarios. Vinny calls me the day after the first practice, and he says to me, you know, Rich, you're going to kill me. I said, well, really, Vinny, why? Man, he didn't sign until October, so he'd been spending time with family, taking his son to hockey practice, coaching his son, spent a lot of time with the girls. He said, I finally realized there's something I love more than hockey. And I said, really, what is it? I love my wife and the kids. I want to go home. Can you tell them? I want to go home. And you know what? I mean, of course, I said, Vinny, don't apologize, buddy. Anybody that finds something they love more than the sport they've enjoyed their entire life, and it happens to be the family they're spending the rest of their life with, like, fans don't get that. That's important. And believe me, you know what? Rich isn't buying a house in Tampa Bay because of the weather. You know why? Because I got 8 grandchildren and 5 children and their respective spouses all living within 5 minutes of my house, other than Lana, who's in Calgary. This is what people are. Think like a dad. Think like a grandfather. Think like a wife. Think like that for a minute and ask yourself, if you were offered an opportunity to choose Tampa Bay, L.A., many cities. I think Columbus is a great city. It's a wonderful city for family. Great college sports. There's lots going on there. It's kind of a sleepy Calgary kind of its town without the mountains and no cowboys. But it's a good town, and he'll have a great family experience there. So I think people should just suck it up, shut the front door, and respect the decision he made, and not whine and complain about it, so the next guy doesn't feel reluctant to come here, because he might get skewered on the way out of town if his wife wants to reunite with her 4 sisters on the East Coast or in Southern, on Ontario or wherever they might live. This is a byproduct of COVID and all of us finding out the more important things in their life. And you know what? A lot of players are finding out it's not money anymore.
Fair enough. Hey, I would never criticize a player for going to be closer to his family. You're right. We forget that. When players play at an organization for so many years, it's not because they chose it. It's because the team chose them in the draft. And when they do get a chance to make that decision, and it's often only once in your career, lucky if you're twice, you can take it. The criticism here, as you know, Rich, is revolved around how it went down and how he really, really left this franchise in a bind by waiting so long to do it and even deceiving the organization right up until the 11th hour into believing that they had a chance to sign him. Otherwise, they would have gone in a different direction. Anyway, we don't have to belabor that. You raised some great points, and I appreciate that. We're talking to Rich Winter about all things NHL, including Andrew Mangiapane. So we only have a couple minutes left, so I want to circle back to Andrew Mangiapane. How quickly do we think that this and cases like Matthew Tkachuk's will be figured out? Because arbitration is right around the corner, and the hearings start on the 27th of this month. Can we expect that Mangiapane could be his situation figured out one way or the other, likely in the next week or two?
Well, you would think so, because if it doesn't get figured out in prior to, it's going to get figured out in arbitration, and then you are left not to be able to discuss it. Like, if you get a one-year, you sign a one-year contract or yeah, accept an arbitration award, you can't discuss this again until January. So, no, I think there's incentive on both sides. You know, Andrew has indicated, you know, an interest in being here for the, you know, foreseeable future. I think they want them. They certainly made that clear. So we'd like to think we could work something out. You know, keeping in mind all the factors we talked about. What does a 1 year bring me in upside? What is it? What are the risks to both sides? And how do they evaluate it? I mean, one of the issues with arbitration at this stage of a player's career is whether you win or lose the arbitration, there's always a good chance you'll lose the player.
Yeah, absolutely. Long term, it kills you. It's just not something anybody wants to do.
Hopefully we can avoid that and negotiate something that will work for everybody. And Andrew will be back in Calgary. So, you know, Max is quite convinced that he's going to have him over to play a little road hockey at some point in the fall. And if his grandfather doesn't deliver in that regard, I'll be in a little bit of trouble. So I'm hoping this works out.
There's pressure all around, Rich. Hey, listen, I appreciate
all
your time.
Man.
Thanks so much. Yeah, yeah, listen,
okay.
Do it for your grandkid. Don't do it for Calgary. Do it for your grandson.
Yeah, well, I'll do it for Andrew, and we'll see how that all comes together. But thanks for having me, and good luck recovering from the hangover of the last week and getting back to normal with Stampede out of town.
I appreciate it, my man. Thank you very much. We'll talk again soon, Rich.
Take care.
Okay, that's Rich Winter, player agent to Andrew Mangiapane. Some fascinating insights as to what goes into the decision-making, you know, for all these players, not just Andrew, but the good news coming out of this interview, if you're a Flames fan, is that, you know, Andrew is very much hoping to sign a multi-year extension with the Calgary Flames as opposed to just a 1 year and then walk into free agency. It doesn't mean he's going to get a deal done, but the fact that he wants to is different than, I guess, obviously what Johnny Gaudreau ultimately didn't want, it, which is to come back to Calgary. So different scenario. I get it. One's an RFA, one's a UFA. Still stings what happened with Johnny, but I also thought that Rich threw some interesting perspective on all that, that, you know, yeah, it hurts to lose a superstar, but this team still has a pretty damn good core. And even if that core won't include Matthew Tkachuk, if they can't come to terms and they have to trade him, they're going to get a pretty damn good player back in return for Tkachuk. So with the goaltending, defense, and forwards they have, this team is not anywhere near a rebuild, I don't think, at this point in time. That's a debate for another day. But anyway, listen, this is the Eric Francis Show. This is our last edition until the fall. I love bringing it to you. I love going in-depth on issues, talking to some of the big shakers in and around the league. And most importantly, I love the stories that they have to tell. And so we heard a lot of those this year. I thank you so much for listening. And I look forward to chatting again next fall, right here on Sportsnet 960. This is the Eric Francis Show. It's brought to you by Horse Racing Alberta. Live standard bred racing goes every Friday and Saturday, and it does that all summer long at Century Downs.